My name is Paul Harvey, and this is Life, Passion and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools and tips how to live life full of meaning, passion and purpose. Hello and welcome to the program. My name is Paul Harvey and I am your host at Life, Passion and Business. I have decided to test my passion with the running thing, and I've entered into the Loch Ness 10K road race at the end of the month. I've never done road racing before and I only started running on the road in April. If you want to know more about my running adventure, I suggest you check out the podcast, The Spud with Legs. I still don't know why I've entered into this race, because I don't need to actually prove I can run 10K, but it seems like the thing to do, and my race number arrived this morning. In other news, I put out a request this week in one of my Facebook groups for ladies to step forward for the podcast. It was one of those odd things I discovered when I put out invites for people to come and join me on the show. The gentlemen always step forward without much of ado and concern, but the ladies are always a bit more introspective and have to think about it a bit. So having put out this challenge, I now have some fantastic responses. As someone pointed out, I was probably not asking the right ladies, but I now have some wonderful interviews booked with some fantastic women starting next week. Speaking of fantastic women, when I drew up my initial list of podcast guests, Anne Clark was the one on the top of it. Now, I mentioned this in last week's podcast that I had got lost in her voice and the story she was telling me, and it ran for over an hour. Well, the plan was to cut it down to bite-sized chunks and edit it a bit. Well, I tried, and it's not possible. I listened to it through and I was just as captivated as when I was there. I couldn't stop the program, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to cut it in half and publish it in two parts. I know some of my podcasts do run to an hour plus, but the extra 15 minutes is a little bit long. On to the show. As I said, when I first considered the podcast, Anne was on the top of the list. And I have to admit, I was curious. I wanted to know her story. I've known Anne for probably 5 or 6 years. Our children went to the same school, and I was involved as a trustee at the time. And Anne was one of those parents that really made a great contribution to the various conversations that we have around running the school at various events. She was a mother with young children, and I saw her in that context. And a little later, I saw a photograph of her taken at an event, and the difference was unbelievable. Something had shifted. Over the last few years, I've seen her on different stages and platforms around the world. She's a facilitator for Access Consciousness, and it is that journey that has revolutionized her life. Unfortunately, she was avoiding my invitation through Facebook to speak on the show until I met her in Tesco's and convinced her to take part. Her condition was that we have our chat face to face on my sofa. So I hope you enjoy part one of this conversation as much as I did. So I'm here today sitting on my sofa with an old friend of mine I've known Anne for a very long time, but we've never actually sat down and chatted together. And when I put together the podcast of Life, Passion and Business, Anne was one of the people that came to mind almost instantly, because she's a lady that I've seen grow enormously over quite a number of years. I've seen Anne as a young mother at the time, and then with her children growing up, and then suddenly there was this woman appearing all over the world on different stages doing stuff. And it's like, wow, what happened there then? So I finally managed to get Anne to agree to a conversation today. So this is Life, Passion and Business, and I want to introduce you to Anne Clark, who's now gone very red in front of me.
I'm partly embarrassed that it's taken you so long to convince me to have the conversation, given that it's something I do so much of. So apologies and thank you for your persistence.
Thank you. So Anne, look, tell us about yourself. What's your story?
Oh, how long have you got? Well, the current story is I'm happier than I've ever been. Mm-hmm. I have more of a sense of enthusiasm and optimism every day than I ever thought possible. And everything is more exciting than it ever was before. That's the current story. And stories are really a really peculiar thing for me personally, because what I do on a day-to-day basis with the classes I facilitate or the sessions I have, it's about not being part of your story anymore and letting your story go. So we have this thing in Access, and I use the tools of Access Consciousness, and it's never buy, tell or sell the story. And so it's one of the things that I don't think about how I got here. I'm here now. Okay, now what can I choose? So it's part of that putting off, I think, in terms of having the conversation. It's like, oh, well, what can I possibly say? What's relevant? You know, that kind of way.
So let's step back a little bit, mm-hmm. and give people a little flavour of your story. You've got a wonderful accent there. So that's clearly you're not from Scotland. And so where's your home?
Guilty as charged. Irish woman. Prior to moving to Scotland, I spent 10 years in the jewel in the crown of the Kingdom of Kerry, which is Kenmare, beautiful, beautiful town in southwest Ireland. And I moved to Kerry when I was 25 and had my first son. And I was aware that the quality of life I was looking for, and the fact that I wanted to parent him myself and not have him go to childcare, and I wasn't terribly well employed at the time, I knew that I needed to move out of Dublin City, which is where I had grown up and lived up until that point. So I moved to Kerry, as I say, when I was 25, and then moved to Scotland 8 years ago now. Mm-hmm. 8 years ago. And when I moved to Scotland, I had a 10-year-old, a 1-year-old, and I was heavily pregnant and on crutches when I suddenly got the inspiration that, yes, this would be a good idea. We should all move.
That's when I met you. When you moved to Scotland with children and crutches. And I think you used our baby chair at the time.
Yeah.
We were passing on our baby chair, and I think you ended up with it.
When I look back on it, I go, really, I either put everybody through that, or that was the most genius inspiration. It was because how that choice came about. So I had parented on my own for 8 years, my eldest, and then the father of my other two boys, we met in Kerry, and he had grown up in Scotland. And my little fellow was going to school, and I'd always had a desire to homeschool. That would have been something I was really, really keen on for various reasons. And I was also aware that to homeschool a child when you're parenting on your own would just be insane and unfair to both parties. It wouldn't give them the horizon I would desire for a child. Mm-hmm. So I put him into a small local school, which really did what I would have liked at the time, up until the age of about 10. And all the programming just kicks in. And, you know, is he going to be a hurler or a footballer or this? And I could just see the light going out in him at 10 years of age. Mm-hmm. And I thought, no, I know better. I need to do better. So a friend had been living here, and I was aware that there was a Steiner school here. Mm-hmm. And because I had lived in Kenmare, which is, in my personal point of view, one of the nicest towns in Ireland, one of the nicest towns in Ireland because it has a backbone of Kerry people, the community that is there. But in the 70s, the Germans and the English and the Dutch all came over for the music scene and stayed. So there's this blow-in population that means you have a community without the Valley of the Squinting Windows so much. You know, it's just a beautiful place where there's more points of view.
Yeah.
There's just more points of view there. And there's beautiful five-star restaurants and five-star hotels. And, you know, there's just a gorgeous place. So for me to move, there was another Steiner School in Belfast and one in Clare, I think, at the time. But I had to move country, not county, because I'd been spoilt rotten. And I was aware of the Steiner School here. And as I say, my partner at the time had grown up in Scotland. Mm-hmm. And I concluded, and it was a conclusion, there wasn't much of a question in it. I concluded that if he was closer to friends and family and stuff like that, that would make him happier too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's the learning curve in and of itself. So we all moved to, you know, and it was crazy looking back on it, but it was, and I think this happens for many people, is that if you had asked me the day before I made the choice, I would have probably said to you, oh no, I'll be buried in Kerry. I will always travel. I love traveling, but you know, it's such a beautiful spot. I'll be here. I just woke up one morning and it was all different because I had, as I said, sort of seen the light go out in my eldest, and I thought, something else is possible. And it was like that. It was just, I wasn't and then I was.
Mm-hmm.
And the wasn't was definite. And the was as definite, if that makes sense. It was just, that's how it was. And so then we all moved and we got here and we had... It was lovely, you know, we had an awful lot of people, you know, helping us initially when we stayed and it that bit, there was a real welcome and a real generosity.
Mm-hmm.
When we moved over, which I'm very grateful for.
But clearly coming here was giving you the opportunity to discover something else, because... You discovered access consciousness when you moved here. I mean, that was it. You wouldn't have discovered it from where you were, I guess.
Well, I would have in the sense that I have always been a seeker. I've always been somebody looking for, looking for the why of things in essence. And I had been studying integral theory when I was in Kerry. Integral theory.
Okay.
Ken Wilber came up with integral theory. And then the other thing I was reading into was spiral dynamics, and it's all from a developmental psychology
mm-hmm.
point of view.
Yeah.
And that was hugely helpful. And I actually did a term with the JFK College in the States on the integral theory. So I had gotten used to doing studying from home and listening to webinars and joining webinars, and started to get active online, because having... when I had Tiernan, when I was pregnant with Tiernan, which was when I was 25, I did a diploma in massage, for example, because I can't not do something.
Uh-huh.
So I've always been looking and learning and working and adding to. And then so I have, a one-year-old then, and it's still the desire to keep going and not just be identified as this person's mother was still there. So I would be listening to, you know, Ken Wilber and the Wee Small Hours, and I got really into just listening to different conversations and seeing what else was possible. So I'd gotten into that habit. But also at the time, a very dear friend of mine, I had nursed, and she had just died. My little fellow was my second guy. I was pregnant at the time. My second guy was just about a year old. And it was a really, really intense time. And just the privilege it was to be with somebody going through that journey. And it's not my first time to nurse somebody. But it's the privilege of that and the realness of that. For me, I always wondered would I be a midwife or deal with people in hospices, because they seem to me the two times in life where people are actually really present and really, really there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't actually be anything else at that point.
You have to be in those moments.
And I was always curious, so, well, why is it only those moments? Like in my early 20s and my teens, the books I was reading, the only other place I saw those were on the shelves of those with the terminal diagnosis. I was like, well, either, I don't think I'm dying. You know, why is nobody else interested in this stuff? You know, anyway.
So your interest is about how to be present?
It was, my interest, I think, initially was how to survive. My interest initially came from a survival standpoint of I actually can't live in this insane way. It just went, the way I grew up, you know, just the insanity of this reality was very apparently insane to me mm-hmm. at a very young age. And it was the survival skills that you learn as a child that are useful to you as a child are no longer useful to you as an adult. But if you're still functioning from there, you're not very functional yeah. in terms of the life you'd actually desire. So it's the same thing I do today with the facilitation I do and facilitating change. The person I'm facilitating most is myself. I just happen to have the joy of having all these tools that I can enable somebody else to realize that they actually do have their own answers.
So for the benefit of the listeners, I think you need to say what you do now, because it's obviously we've right. had this journey, you've come yeah. here, you know, you've got this obviously this desire to understand more about the consciousness and the way the world works.
Mm. Well, it's that thing of, well, why do we do what we do? What is it? You know, I suppose sometimes where do people choose from? And then I realized a lot of the time that we're not actually choosing. We're being buffered about by circumstance as opposed to actually being present and choosing, okay, what's actually going to work for me here? So what I do now is many and varied.
Yes.
And I facilitate with the tools of access consciousness, which is, as you say, I did find when I was here in Scotland. Pretty soon after landing over, actually, that change occurred. And the story of that was quite fun because I had, you know, as I say, two kids under the age of two. Neither myself or my partner were working at that time. And we, this young family and a 10-year-old starting a new school, starting a new life. And I was still listening to, you know, conversations on the web. You know, I'd always listen to people on the web because that was the only place I could find the conversations that I wanted to actually hear
yeah.
or be part of. And so there was a webinar. Somebody had a webinar, some summit or something was on. And I heard this facilitator. And it really piqued my interest. And it was more in what she wasn't saying and the energy she was being as opposed to what she was actually saying. And she started to speak about the bars and these 32 points on your head and it sort of the difference it had made in her life and the energetic work and stuff. And I listened to it and I was engrossed. And then I berated myself for about 24 hours at least. Going, Anne, if you really think that, you know, the answer or the solution is in another package or, you know, a deck of cards or another book or in anything outside of yourself, then you haven't changed anything. You're still looking for something outside of yourself. So I did. I gave myself a hard time, which is, I think we all find easier to do than look at, you know, so things were getting
yeah.
right. But there was still a pull. About 48 hours, there was still a pull. I was like, no, there's something in this. There really is something in this that I need to at least ask more questions about. So, and there was nobody in Scotland doing access at the time. So I actually flew back to Dublin to have this session, to have my bars run. And there was no logical... I couldn't justify this on paper, this going, flying to Dublin to have my bars run. You know, there was no...
Sorry, you said have my bars run. What
yes,
that
actually yes. So mean? this is what I was saying. So this bar thing, the access bars are 32 points on the head.
Yeah.
And what it does is it dissipates the electrical charge that's going on in your brain.
Okay.
And the short story is it deletes the junk file in your head.
Okay.
So the mommy said this, daddy said that, and Ellie said this, my best friend, the media says this, all, how much of our lives are we at the effect of other people's points of view being impelled at us? And we then buy that as our story, if we're going back to what I said at the outset and why I am reluctant to go into my own story or stories in general,
yeah,
is because I see on a daily basis the damage we do to ourselves and the damage I've seen in others by buying those stories as real.
Right.
If that makes sense. So what having your bars run does is it starts to dissipate that buildup, that electrical buildup in the synapses of your brain.
Right.
And it starts to cut. I don't know if you, the best way I can explain it is, you will be in a conversation and you're like, hang on, you know, this is the same situation. The characters are different and I might be in a different place, but the energy of this, I'm gone round in this circle again.
I have to say this. When I left work in 2004 to move up here,
I
contracted with them to come back for like 6 months to sort out the transition. And so I was going away and coming back. Like I'd go away for 3 weeks and I'd come back for a month. Or for about a week. Now, I remember prior to that, you'd be sitting in a meeting or something, talking to a bunch of people, and someone would get up and leave the meeting to go out to the toilet and come back. And they come back and sit down and they go, and another, I've been thinking about this and this and this. So that's how meetings used to happen. Mm. But me going out for 3 weeks, it was like going out to the toilet, because I'd walk back into the same building and the same conversations were happening, had been happening. It was like I just popped out to the toilet 3 weeks ago.
But the scary thing is, and that's absolutely brilliant, basically you have encapsulated the difference my life is to most of the people around me.
Yeah.
And the reason I sort of am the way I am is because I am incapable of having that same conversation every day, all day. That's not how, I cannot function like that. And I couldn't function like it as a kid. But I didn't have the tools then to realize that that wasn't necessarily a wrongness.
Access consciousness shows that. It demonstrates.
So
that.
Having your bars run, okay. Going back to the bars for a second, it what it does, so you're there for, say, an hour and 15 minutes, hour and a half, you're lying down on a massage table, you're fully clothed, you've got a blanket over you, and you're not required to say anything, you're not required to do anything, all you have to do in is lie there and basically receive the session.
Right.
And for me, who's gifting a session, for example, who I'm, you know, I'm running a person's bars, and that's what we call it. We have a, you know, a hashtag, get your bars run.
Okay.
And it's because it actually works. It really does work. And what happens when you get your bars run, you sit up and there's a sense of space you didn't have when you got onto the table. And the joy in it for me is you are literally not the same person when you get off the table as you were when you lay down. Now, how that shows up for everybody is different. And how it shows up for any one person in any series of sessions is different. No.
Wow.
And it is different. So I went, you know, for this bar session in Dublin. And, you know, there was no bolts of lightning. There were no epiphanies. It was a really relaxing session. And I thought, okay, that was very nice. And I flew back home again. However, what shifted dynamically after it was the way I was reacting to people and things. And I was like, oh, I didn't just bite the head off him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not losing my temper with the kids, or I'm not reacting. There's a different space showing up here. And I was like, something is different. Something has changed. So then then I flew back. A month later, I think. And I basically went, all in. I did the bars class is a 1 day class. So you can become a practitioner in the bars in 1 day.
Yeah.
That's one of the classes I facilitate, and it's just a pure joy. And so you can become a practitioner in 1 day. And then I did the foundation, which is a 4 day class directly afterwards. I just went and did the whole 5 days. And for me, it was as if I'd found the instruction book. It was like, oh, look, somebody's figured out how it is I actually function. somebody's figure out the bits that I've spent the last.
Is that when that picture was taken years. Of you, when you had your hair cut, or had your hair like tightly cut?
That was taken shortly afterwards. So what happened?
There's a picture that I saw of you, and it blew my mind when I saw it, because you look so alive. From the person I'd seen you, the mum with the chip with the kids, and the center, because I used to see you at school, and, that sort of thing. Yeah. And I saw that picture. Wow, what happened there?
Well, what happened was that the light bulb went on, and like I showed up. You know, I started to show up. The more I got involved with Access, and the more I used the tools, I show up more every day now in a different way.
Yeah.
And the tools are really, really pragmatic. It's about being willing to ask a question rather than concluding. As I said, you know, earlier, I concluded that for various reasons this would be the best move for the family, you know, and we function from conclusion and judgment in this reality for the most part. That's what we're taught, but judgment is the single most destructive thing on the planet. It's the single most destructive thing on the planet, yet it is our basic functioning software that we're given.
And because the way that we structure society, most people want to look at the rule book before to make a decision how to move forward, because we want to be in the structure and don't want to be seen as an outlier.
Yeah, and we want to make the right choice.
Yeah.
And what the access tools are looking at and ask you to look at is like, well, what if there isn't a right choice? Because people try to make the right choice in an effort to never have to make another choice. It's like, well, if I make the right choice, if I pick the right career, if I get Mr. Right, if I get Ms. Right, if I get all these things right, then I'll be set and I'll be somehow secure, or I'll be somehow stable, or I'll be somehow sorted for life. You know, this thing in, you know, Ireland back in the day of, you know, the pensionable job, and you're set for life. That sense of you're set for life if you have the right job, the right relationship, the right whatever. And it's insane, because the universe doesn't function like that. It really, really doesn't. Only the two-leggeds try to beat themselves into this way of being.
Only the
two-leggeds, okay. As I say, the human beings on the planet are the only species. Okay. Everybody else can deal with change.
Yeah.
The whole planet is constantly changing. We are sitting on a ball that's spinning at I don't know what rate, hurtling its way through space. And yet we somehow expect to be secure.
Yeah.
You know, I find it really funny. And the more I look at this and, you know, just even from how I function in the world, it just gets funnier. The more, for me, the more conscious you're willing to be about everything, the more amusing it gets, because you start to hear the lies and the stories you tell yourself, and you start to hear everybody else's stories, and you realize this is completely crazy. A lot of how we function is completely crazy. And I think at this time in the world, many of the institutions, if not all of them, that people have gotten the rule book from, you know, the education system, the Catholic Church, any church, the governments, it is becoming more and more evident, even for those who don't desire to know it.
Yeah.
That this is completely arbitrary.
Yeah.
You know, and
can see that in terms of some of the political thing at the moment, in terms of that, you know, we're sitting here talking, and, you know, it's August 2018, and the UK is sitting on the Brexit conversation, whether we leave, whether we don't leave.
Yeah.
And there's all sorts of information about this, and both sides are entrenched about it in terms of it'll be fine.
Yeah, but there was no actual conversation had before the referendum. That's the bizarre thing.
No, there's no conversation. But even with all the information provided, people are entrenched in their camps in either direction.
Just like, yeah, and someone else will sort this. That sense of it's either somebody else's responsibility or somebody else will sort this. I'll stay entrenched, and in my entrenchedness.
Yeah.
It will, and for me,
I'm just
work.
As entrenched as anyone else, because I want it to stay the same, but I think it's okay. I mean, it's, But interesting.
But this is it. So with the access tools, sort of there's four questions that you can apply to any situation. Is what is this? So take it the Brexit situation, take it a relationship, take it a work situation, just your life, you know, or some an energy that's up in your day. What is this?
Yeah.
Can I change it?
Yeah.
If so, how can I change it? And what else is possible?
Okay. It sounds very familiar in terms of the Byron Katie type stuff, when she kind of has
Yeah.
Is it true? How do you know it's true? And if it was true, how would you feel about it? Exactly. Or whatever.
This is what is also hilarious is the tools are deceptively simple.
Mm.
And the tagline of Access is empowering people to know that they know. And what you're saying there about this sounding familiar is that is the truth of it, is that everybody knows this. You know, when you come to an Access class or when you're in a facilitation, I'm not, if I'm having a session with somebody, I'm not there. I don't know their answers. I have fabulous tools to get them to realize what will actually work for them.
Yeah.
And that's all I can do, is to empower somebody else to know that they actually do know. But for that to occur, the person has to be looking for some sort of change. And what I've realized relatively recently, because I again concluded that, well, if I think this is crazy, everybody else must think it's, you know, surely this is evidently crazy to everybody. And surely everybody would like an easier life, and surely everybody would like a life where we communicate in a way that works for people, and that we can, you know, celebrate the abundant planet we live on, you know. But I get this is naive in the extreme in many ways, that's not like what people are trying to get from Monday to Friday.
And I don't like to think about this stuff.
And that's what, you know, they want to get from one end of the day to the other, or one end of the week to the other, and tick off the boxes of the car or the house or the relationship or the partner or whatever that is what they've been told being a success is. And they don't actually want to look at anything different, because if they looked at something different, something would have to change and they'd have to be different. Mm. And it goes back to you saying that thing about the rule book and people not wanting to be an outlier. If you're actually willing to choose for yourself, if you're actually willing to be present and conscious in your life, as I've realized, you are going to be different and you are going to be an outlier. And that's just a fact. And what if that's not wrong? And what if it's actually a fairly fun place to function from?
Mm-hmm.
And in actual fact, what if I imagine I'd lay money that you going back to the company, even though to you it sounded like you'd left the room to go to the toilet, I'd lay money that you're going back brought a fresh ideas, a fresh space, brought an impetus to the meeting that wasn't going to be there.
Yeah, I think.
Is that fair to say?
I brought stuff back into the room, obviously, because I was three weeks later. But the point.
Yeah, but you'd had 3 other weeks of experience and happenings and occurrences.
I think what was happening in that organisation at the time is that the same politics was going around, and the same conversations were. That was what shocked me. They were still complaining about the same things 3 weeks, 3 months later.
Yeah.
It's the same story going on. You know? Yeah. Oh, he's still doing so and so and so.
And it goes back to that thing of being entrenched.
Yeah.
Like if we look at it, how many people in your life do you know who are literally, and I do mean literally, dying to be right?
Quite a lot, actually. Probably most of them.
They would rather be right and have the effects of that on their body. Because if you, to this entrenched piece, if you align and agree with somebody, or you resist and react to them, either way you have to buy a point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So what the tools of Access would advocate, and what I have found brings me a hell of a lot more ease in my life, is being an allowance and going, okay, it's an interesting point of view. It's information. Interesting point of view. now what's actually true for me? Because if you look at the energy, if with the entrenched pieces and the stories we buy, you then have to put an awful lot of your energy into upholding that story.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but I did suffer. Oh, but I was wounded. Oh, but it is their fault. And so if you're putting all your energy into that, what energy have you left to actually create the life you desire?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's where part of my reluctance, you know, around story goes. And yet I have also seen where story is incredibly powerful in terms of allowing people to realize that, you know, you're actually not on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You're never on your own. You're not on your own. And stories can be powerful in terms of, you hear something a bit like me listening to that facilitator in the webinar. You know, there was something in what she said, and the story of her being a facilitator that really pulled me, and it altered the course of my life in a way that I'm really grateful for, and as a result it altered the course of my children's life and my ex's life in a way that I think, regardless of what it looks like, is actually I'm incredibly grateful for, because of the space it allows for everybody to choose what actually works for them.
Yeah.
And the honouring of the individuals within my story of, you know what, I can only change me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have a desire to contribute to change on the planet. I have a desire to change the world. But like, I mean, if we look at it, how difficult is it for each of us as individuals to change anything? How many of us have struggled with weight, or we struggle with going to the gym, or we struggle with a work habit because of the programs that run? Changing ourselves can be a real challenge at times, and yet we live in this insanity of thinking we have any remote hope of changing somebody else. It's ridiculous, and yet that's what the impulse is. My life would be so much easier if X, Y, and Z would just change their point of view on something.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
You know, my life would be just so much easier if they would get their act together.
Yeah, it is fascinating that we have a political system that has this right and wrong about it, and that's how it works. And everything is based around that. You know, we have a legal system where someone has to be the loser.
And that's the insanity of this. That polarity speaks exactly to the insanity of what most people live on a day-to-day basis. And if you have bought any point of view as real and true, you then have to uphold that. You have to put your energy into, no, but I have the right answer.
And you have to fight it.
You have to fight against those that you perceive have the wrong answer. And meanwhile, your time on this planet is ticking away. And you are actually, because of the level of judgment that's involved in that, that's what creates disease.
Oh, wow.
That's how disease is created.
Yeah. Wow.
And I remember observing myself in this. I was about a year and a half involved with Access. And a situation came up, and it involved all the big topics. It involved relationships. It involved finance. It involved me as a person, and it involved the whole thing. And I was able to watch myself in that moment and realize that if I were to react, as I said, how I would have done prior to, say, having my bars on, if I were to be the older version of me, in order to react to the situation in the way I would have done, I would have had to contract who I was to such a degree that it would have caused disease in my body.
Wow.
Like, it was that, I was that clear in that moment. It was like, wow, yes, something has shifted, something is different. I see how the tools just work. And while essentially on the surface of it, everything looks the same, how I be is entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
And so how I be with people is entirely different. And my desire for an outcome, I don't have an agenda anymore. I don't have a desire to change anybody else. How can I achieve what I'd like to achieve in a way that's going to actually work?
Yeah.
And then you got to go into the question of, well, why am I actually even trying to achieve that? You know, is that what I'm... Because I've done an exercise with various different groups, and it's a really interesting exercise to do, is, you know, write down 10 or 20 of the things you'd really, really like to do. Or you think, you know, if money were no object, whatever, you'd really, really like to do. Write down 10 things and put it away for the evening and go back to it the next day. And ask, as you go through the list, look at the list again, ask as you go through of it, how many of these are actually my point of view?
Yes, how many of those things?
How many of these do I actually desire to do? Or is this to prove to my dad that I can do it? Or is this to prove to my best friend that I can? Or is this to disprove my ex? Or is this to, what is the reasoning I'm functioning from with this list?
And that was Life, Passion and Business with Paul Harvey and my guest, Anne Clark. Her voice is so lovely, and as you already know, this interview went on for an hour and a quarter, so that is why we're splitting it into two for you. If you want to find out more details about Anne and about Access Consciousness, or Access for Now, I think it's called, you can find that at the bottom of the podcast, underneath the podcast recording. So, only remains to say thanks for listening, and I hope to catch you on part two.